Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I'm your host, Brian Scott. Today we have some fantastic Quo channelings. Quo, if you have not heard of Quo, is a group of higher density beings channeled through LL Research. LL Research originally channeled the raw material and brought the Law of One teachings into the general consciousness. The Quo material has expanded upon the raw material and expanded our understandings of the Law of One, particularly in the ways that it relates to our ascension into what they call fourth density, New Earth. We have covered a variety of topics through Quo, and they basically answer questions. Oftentimes, within a single sentence, you'll find amazing realizations. Today, Quo addresses the topic of rejection, something many of us have to deal with through childhood or even now. We're rejected by our families or friends because of our beliefs or perhaps something that we've done in our past. How do we deal with this catalyst of rejection in our spiritual growth? We begin with the channeling delivered on January 21st, 2017. Several of us in the group are struggling with the world, which seems to judge or reject us so often, whether it's about our past, our choices, our spiritual beliefs, or some other aspect of our lives. We feel comfortable with ourselves in those things, but feel uncomfortable or hurt when met with judgment or rejection from others. It can also lead to feelings of isolation and loneliness. How can we relate to this catalyst of discomfort or hurt feelings? How can we find a place of comfort within ourselves which can withstand pressures from society? And how can we cope with feelings of isolation brought by our choices, beliefs, or experiences? Jim Channeling. I am Quo, and we greet each of you in love and in light this afternoon. It is such an honor to be with you. We cannot thank you enough for blessing us with your invitation to speak to you concerning these matters that are upon your minds and your hearts this day. By so speaking, we hope to offer you consolation and inspiration, not just information, so that you may take that which has value to you, leaving all else behind, and travel more assuredly upon your spiritual path. For it is that spiritual journey upon which each of us now finds ourselves. We all move in unison in a certain step, seeking the love and light of the One in unity with the One. And in all that we do, in all that we say, and in all that we think, for we who have moved somewhat further along this path than you have found the truth of unity to be that which is omnipresent. We cannot find a place where there is no unity. However, we are well aware that within your own illusion you have no trouble whatsoever discovering places and people that seem not at all in unison with you. It seems so very separated, distinctly different, almost antagonistically opposite in some cases from your own perception of the reality around you. This makes it difficult, as you have carefully framed in your question, to be able to accept and utilize the catalyst that is offered by those who would criticize you for your beliefs, your behaviors, who would judge you for the same in a negative sense, and reject that which you offer, even when you offer it with your heartfelt love. For that which you offer is so very different from that which many entities are acquainted with, or have been perceived the slightest hint of. So what they are responding to is that great difference between your ways and theirs, for they yet reside most firmly behind the veil which you have begun to penetrate in your own seeking. And the veil, as you know, is quite an efficient means of segregating that which is from that which seems to be. Your illusion is as unified as is any illusion within the infinite creation, and yet, because of the veil of forgetting, separating your conscious mind from your subconscious mind, you are not able to perceive all that is before your eyes, both your inner eyes and your outer eyes. For if you could but remove that veil right here in the third density illusion, you would discover the unity of all things. And yet, within this third density illusion, you would still find those who would not appreciate your unified view, that would see them also as the creator. For this is such a foreign concept to most upon your planet, that to consider it would require that they would completely change their philosophy of life, their point of view, their means of seeing that which is before their eyes and around their heart. Though you may feel threatened, judged, rejected, and in general ignored as an ultimate response by such entities, can you not also feel for them the great sorrow of their dimmed sight, both within and without, that holds so much from their lives that could enrich their very being to the degree necessary to begin their own journey of seeking in a conscious fashion? For those who would so criticize you and ostracize you are suffering from the disease of ignorance and sleepfulness, for such is the beginning state of consciousness within the third density illusion. It is meant to be this way for all entities in order that there may be a, shall we say, reward for penetrating the illusion about you. The harder that you have worked to make sense of the world about you in the way in which your spiritual journey has made sense to you requires that you work quite diligently on a daily basis to utilize the catalyst that comes your way for the purpose of continually clearing your sight and opening your heart to the Creator which exists both within and without. At some point within their incarnational experiences, at the end of the third density, most entities are making progress upon this path of removing the veil and beginning to catch a glimpse of the love that created all that there is out of the light of the one Creator. So when you find yourself in a situation in which you are opposed by those who disagree with your point of view and judge you for it, we would suggest first that you look at the situation as we see it. You have begun to see clearly the nature of reality. You have found yourself in relationship with another who has not. You have been blessed, and the other would rather curse you, shall we say, and yet it is their own state of ignorance and sleepfulness that keeps them shackled to a restricted point of view. If you can begin to color your relationship with such entities with the color of compassion, to begin first to see that it is not so much you with which they disagree, it is that which you propose or propound, that which you expose them to, a dimly felt experience of love, of light, of unity, which begins to shake their perception of reality. It causes them to fear they shall fall from the shaky craft that floats upon the sea of consciousness and drown in the waters of this so-called unconditional love and unity of which you speak. Thus, they feel greatly threatened for their very lives, for their thoughts, for their feelings, for their present, for their future, for all that they hold dear. We shall at this time transfer this contact to the one known as Steve. We are those of Quo. I am Quo, and with this instrument, we would like to begin by thanking this instrument for the challenge which it asked us to respond to, especially given that this instrument felt the need to be reassured that only the positive information might be permitted to be spoken through it, as it is aware that there are in this crowded universe many voices which would offer themselves to inspire and to detune the unwary traveler on the byways of spirit. I am Quo, I am Latos, I am Latui, I am Ra. These voices and others that you have not become familiar with are blended in this energy, which this instrument now receives and makes available to you. For to us, as we reach out to you in service, it is not important to distinguish one voice from another when they are harmonized in a single service, focused and dedicated in an effort to make available both information and inspiration to others of like mind who seek. We are a multitude of voices blended into a single voice, and can be so because not one among these voices turns in judgment against the others. Now many here who have gathered have within themselves, within their soul memories, a recollection dimmed, it is true, by the veil of a time and a way of life that is more harmonious, that is more open, that is more welcoming, that is less restricted. When a seeker has begun the process of peering through the fog and the mists of the veil to get a glimmer of light on the other side, it can seem that the darkness all around is all the more difficult to endure. All the more pernicious, even. It seems to have an energy and a life of its own that resists the lightning which the seeker undertakes. The judgments which you find all around you are merely reflections of this resistance in many cases. And so, one who seeks to penetrate the veil. But one who has come to incarnate here has not come to be free of the effects of the veiling, but has rather come to serve. And that means to serve in such ways as are, for the most part, very heavily veiled indeed. Now, we would call your attention to a portion of the process of judging, which is, in fact, of a positive order of derivation. It is indeed essential to all who live in third density and who seek in third density, and we will say that this function does not end with third density, for it represents a process and an operation which falls to the responsibility of every soul which has entered the great adventure of individuation. The positive aspect of judgment involves the capacity to make discrimination. It involves the capacity to see one path as preferable to another for certain purposes, and these purposes, the capacity to judge itself, is subject constantly to revision, to growth, to exploration, and to expansion by means of the experience that you gain from your path through incarnation. So judgment itself is not a function of a negative order of derivation. It becomes problematic only when it becomes hardened, only when it loses its place as a portion of a process and becomes a means of separation in and of itself. Now, we have said before, the first step in separation is always the separation of self from itself, and it is only when the self finds itself separated from itself that it is truly vulnerable to the experience of separating that comes upon it from another. The moral to that story is simply this: when you feel the sting of the judgment of another, the other having separated itself from you, and generally placed itself above you in the order of value. When you feel this sting, if sting it does, do, it is only because there is already the opening or aperture to the sting carried in your being. Now, that is an easy principle to enunciate, to be sure, but we will say that every incarnate individual in third density, whether or not they are natively of third density or whether perhaps they are a wanderer, come into third density for purposes of service, every third density being, we say, is full of these little self-separations that give the opportunity for judgment to create within the individual person a disharmony of voices, a cacophony of voices, a chaos of inward voices, some of which are condemnatory, some of which seek by way of an attempt at self-survival to justify the little wayward self one feels oneself to be. And so this experience of incarnate life upon the third density plane, my friends, is bound to be one in which you begin by being moved off your center. It is bound to be one in which you begin by finding yourself displaced, lost, and in need of healing. It can be a greatly liberating experience when first you discover that there is more to your being than the simple constructed ego that has been carefully crafted as much for protection as for positive effect, as a portion of your life experience. And when this realization that you are more, a realization which is common to those who begin spiritually to seek, is first felt, it can be greatly liberating. You can feel that the chains have been removed from your limbs and you are able now to move freely. You can be tempted to exult in this freedom and to proclaim to the world around the liberation which you have found. Everything can begin to seem light. Every other self can begin to appear under the rubric of friend, and you can find that the world is indeed a welcoming place indeed. And when one encounters other selves who have but recently undergone this experience of liberation, it can be encouraging, particularly if you are one who has previously felt liberated, only perhaps upon subsequent experience to have found that the initial euphoria was, shall we say, a little bit premature. For as you go through the daily activities of your lives, you will find again that there are those who present you with all the resistance you could ever want and give you every opportunity to once again take in these judgments of a world which is interested in your liberation not at all. And so you might find that you have taken on a certain heaviness of the world. And for those who have a bit more experience on the path of spiritual seeking, it can sometimes begin to seem that earlier experiences of liberation are hardly a gift at all, for you are now burdened with the realization that much, much more is possible. Much more love can be felt. Much more harmony can be created than is being created, than is being felt. And as you contemplate this fact, you can begin to feel distraught, because after the euphoria of your spiritual breakthrough has receded just a little bit, you get a glimpse of how little difference that seems to have made in the lives of others. And if you reflect a little further, you might come to the realization that you have not incarnated in third density in order to experience the exhilaration of liberation. You have incarnated in third density quite simply in order to serve. And the ones that are most in need of serving are most frequently the ones least inclined to receive your service gladly. And so it can seem to one eager to fulfill the destiny of service, eager to lighten the vibrations of a planet long in distress, long laboring under the heavy weight of judgment, compounded on judgment. It can seem, we say, that all hope of making a real difference is utterly forlorn. My friends, we are the brothers and sisters of sorrow. We are here in a capacity of serving, and we merely call your attention to what we think you already know, that all here gathered are here in the same capacity. Service is not an easy undertaking. It is not that the one who seeks to serve can be prided and plumed with the knowledge of having the truth. For what is the truth when the task at hand is to make oneself available to those for whom judgment is all there is? It is as if, in order to serve, you must submit to this world where judgment reigns supreme, and you must allow yourself to get down and dirty. If we may put it in this way, by working in the minds, by dredging up difficult feelings, by allowing oneself to present catalyst to others, that is, to them, most unwelcome, thereby drawing judgment once again upon oneself. To serve, my friends, is not an experience of constant and unbridled joy, but involves also a capacity to take upon the self the sorrows of the world. We have commended to you the importance of the private space you can create for yourself in meditation, for it is here that healing may be done. When you are able to withdraw from the bustle of the world and heal the wounds you have left yourself open to receiving in your effort to serve, you are performing service upon a very deep level. We would present you with a caution, and that is that it is possible to take upon yourself more than you are able to process, and there are those that have wandered from Ra, from Latwi, and from Latos, who have done just this, and who find themselves as a result in a state of confusion so deep that it is as if they have been lost in the maelstrom. It is as if they have become the problem. It is as if they have discovered a great truth about the creation to the effect that some wounds will not heal. We would like to assure you that this is not so, that all wounds will, in the fullness of time, in fact heal. But having said that, we will also say that there will be those who work by ways of judgment so deeply and so effectively and with such emotional power that it is well not to engage where you fear yourself overmatched. And so here we say that this is where the positive aspect of judgment comes into play. Because you have to be able to make the proper discrimination with regard to your own powers of healing, to determine whether a situation which is on offer is one which you can effectively take up. There is no shame in coming to the determination upon an occasion or two that a situation that has invited you in, so to speak, is not one in which your capacity for service can come to fruition, and under these circumstances, it is the better part of valor to withdraw into what for you is a safe place and to stick to your knitting, so to speak. Yes, my friends. Judgment is a two-edged sword, and if you carry the effects of judgment, it can weigh you down to the point where your best resource, your capacity for hope, and your capacity for joy is something that seems so far removed that you will never restore it to yourself. We can assure you that you have recovered from every mistake you have made in the past. We can assure you that you will make more mistakes in the future, and that you will recover from these as well. So long as you approach every new experience with a commitment to love, to healing, and to service, we feel confident in telling you that you will emerge from the experience better off than before. And so it is to these commitments that we would commend you and assure you that from the point of view that we have to offer, you are all doing great service as you bring your love and your light to this planet, which is indeed very much in need of that love and that light. We are those of Quo who have enjoyed this opportunity to blend our thoughts with yours, to bring our voice into your group as a portion of the seeking, which we all do together. We would at this time leave this instrument and return to the one known as Jim. I am Quo. Adonai, my friends. Adonai. I am Quo, and I'm again with this instrument. It is our pleasure at this time to ask if there may be any other queries to which we may speak. A question that I came with has been answered. Is there any other query at this time? Quo, it's not a terribly important question, but I anticipate questions on this point in the future from readers of this transcript. Unless I am mistaken, it seems that the channeling through Steve indicated that Quo consisted of Ra, Latui, and Latos. It is my understanding that the Quo principle consists of Ra, Latui, and Hatan. Can you clarify this, please? I am Quo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. The beginning principle of Quo was, as you have stated, those of Hatan of the fourth density, those of Latui of the fifth density, and those of Ra of the sixth density, blending together in a principle that sought to continue the work of those of Ra with this work in a manner which would not require the use of the trance, but which would require a certain stepping down, shall we say, of the vibrations of those of Ra. This was accomplished by a manner of blending of the vibrations of these three social memory complexes so that the product of their service could be appreciated upon the conscious level of those entities within this group who are able to receive the vibration of Quo. This has been the makeup of this group for a great portion of what you would call time. However, we have found it necessary in the recent past, shall we say, to invite those of Latos to join our group, for you have begun the process of teaching the art of channeling and have the necessity of welcoming new instruments into your group in a manner which is able to be appreciated by the new instruments. That requires the gentle vibrations of the one known as Latos, also of the fourth density, but which specializes in the preparation and training of the new instruments in this group. We would suggest that the one known as Hatan remains as a member of this group when needed. However, there is the necessity of only one fourth density social memory complex within the principle of Quo at any one time, as there is the necessity of only one fifth density entity and one sixth density entity in order for the vibrations to meld most appropriately in the process of transmitting information to conscious channels. When you find yourself, and if you should find yourself in the future, no longer proceeding along the lines of training instruments, then you would find that the ones of Hatan would again replace the ones of Latos. Is there a further query, my brother? No, not on that topic. Thank you, Quo. I am Quo, and we thank you, my brother. Is there another query at this time? Thank you, Quo. I have a question from Jay, who says, it seems to me that the ability of perceiving the energy flows not only as necessary to efficiently carry out the healing process, but is also the key to developing the healing ability. In fact, I think the perceiving of energy flows is also relevant to attaining the minimal balance necessary to become a healer. I know Ra mentioned that briefly in 58.3, how to activate the inner vision by using the swung crystal. But I still don't know exactly how to practice and develop my inner vision. Thus, I sincerely hope that Quo could expand on how to activate, if necessary, the inner vision and give a practical and workable way for a third density entity such as me to follow. I am Quo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. We might recommend that in addition to the practice with the swung crystal, that this practice be accomplished while in the meditative state, which would require the entity to close the eyes and attempt to perceive the entity with which it works with the swung crystal so that there may be the opportunity to perceive the beginning nature of the energies with which the ones to be healed or worked with is expressing. Thus, as the crystal is swung over various of the energy centers of the other's entity's chakra system, then the one serving as healer may attempt to perceive how the energies are alike and are different from one energy center to the next in an ascending manner. Thus, the crystal would be moved from the lower energy centers, beginning with the red ray, to the higher centers, seriatim, one at a time, pausing for at least a minute or two in your measure at each energy center, perceiving the energies that are emanating from that center. This process, repeated on a regular basis with various other entities, serving as the one seeking healing, so that the one serving as healer may become familiar with a variety of expressions of these energies that are emanating from each energy center. Is there another query at this time, my brother? Quote, there is one more from C who says, I would love to hear an expansion on the subject of those who will not be harvesting to fourth density Earth and instead entering third density harvest on other planets in the context of family and close loved ones. How are these ties connected between those who will be staying in the fourth density positive and those who need further incarnational lessons in third density? This is important to me because I've been feeling a large amount of distress that some of my family members may not be able to rejoice with me in the love of fourth density, although I have faith that we will be reconnected in time. I'm Quo, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. Indeed, those of a spiritual family, each entity that is a seeker of truth belongs to such a family, will remain in a connection within any other third density planet. There will be the ability to continue to incarnate in a collected fashion so that there may continue to be the expression of the karmic patterns that have become a part of such a family. It is not usual for a family of seekers, shall we say, to split between one planet in one density and another planet in another density. For if there is the majority of those moving to another third density planet for the repetition of the third density, there will be also the desire upon each member of the family to be with those that are moving to such another third density planet. That is to say, if there are those within this family that may achieve graduation into the fourth density, there may be the delaying of the movement into fourth density for a short period of what you would call time, so that all members of the family may move together eventually into a fourth density environment. This may seem like a great sacrifice for the one that would be able to move more quickly into fourth density. But if you will remember that the third density cycles are 25,000 years, three of these cycles culminating in the 75,000 years for the entire third density, and compare that to the 30 million years of fourth density, you will find that the sacrifice may be but for a moment in what would be termed fourth density terms. Is there another query at this time? Yes, I have one. I've talked about this before. What role does the use of minor drugs like marijuana contribute to the inhibition of spiritual growth? Sometimes it seems like it helps. Other times it seems like it scatters focus and concentration. Could you please comment on that? I am Quo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. The use of substances such as the marijuana or the LSD or the mescaline and so forth can be considered useful to a certain extent. That is, that the eyes are open to a certain amount of a larger reality in which the nature of love, of light, of joy, of unity are appreciated by such an entity. However, we would recommend that as in all experience or processing of catalyst within the third density illusion, there is the opportunity to learn these basic lessons and then to move in a, shall we say, more natural fashion for the further expression and experience of the higher levels of consciousness that are resulting from the personal efforts and what we would call a more natural manifestation of the meditation, the contemplation, the prayer, the utilizing of the catalyst of the daily round of experience. It is easy for some entities to become so used to the ease with which an expanded vision may be obtained in the use of these so-called drugs, that there is not the exercise of the internal powers of perception and apprehension of the greater reality that is a natural portion of each seeker's beingness. It is important for each seeker to exercise this natural ability to pursue understanding, if we may use this misnomer, in the daily round of activities. Thus, our recommendation is a limited and introductory use of such substances for the serious seeker of truth. Is there a final query at this time? I am Quo, and as it appears that we have exhausted the queries for this circle of seeking. And we would again thank each of you for inviting our presence this day. We have learned as much from you as we hope that you have learned from us. Thus, we all serve as teachers, we all serve as students, and the one creator within us learns as well. for each of us is quite able to experience those realities in another's being, in your own being, and in the world around us that can teach the Creator more of its own being. Thus, this has been a most fruitful experience and blending of our energies with yours. My friends, we leave you in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. We are known to you as those of Quo Adonai, my friends. Adonai Vasu Boragas. And this concludes this channeling on rejection and judgment. We hear many of the same common themes we always do with Quo, but I'm always interested in the way that they express these things. There's some interesting ideas that came up that I certainly want to talk about. The idea that if we graduate into fourth density, that we may be tied to our families and we may end up going back as a family to redo third density. And I don't know, I'm limited in a third density view, but they always talk about, oh, 25,000 years, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. And I was interested when they said that in general, the family moves together and that if you graduate, you'll end up going back and helping the other family members to move forward. Well, that's concerning. I certainly know that it's likely that my mother, at least, probably is redoing third density. Maybe not. She was of great service, but had lots of catalyst that was unprocessed. Maybe she's reincarnated now, and I feel like I have communicated with my mom. Maybe I have stuff to deal with my mom. I don't know. But what an interesting dynamic that we have to come to grips with. In order to graduate fourth density, it takes 30 million years. You live a single lifetime in fourth density for 90,000 years. So they're like, it's no big deal. You're going to go spend 25,000 years in fourth density terms. It's just like a day. But still, these are such long periods of time, it's hard to contemplate. And there is a great desire and craving in me to move into fourth density as if I come from that place, yet I have family members. I don't know how that works. Who knows? They addressed marijuana again, and I believe we've addressed marijuana in maybe a dozen channelings now. It's a common question with Quo. And they do emphasize it can help, but it can't be something that you depend on. The beginning of this really emphasizes some very subtle things as we move into a third density state and we are separate. They talk about separation a lot in talking about judgment. The idea that we are separated due to the veil and we're learning about the nature of separation within third density. So Quo recommends compassion to begin first to see that it is not so much that you with which they disagree. It is that which you propose or propound, that which you expose them to. A dimly felt experience of love, of light, of unity, which begins to shake their perception of reality. Oftentimes, people take stuff personally, when in many cases, when you're being rejected or judged by others, it has nothing to do with you. It has something to do with them. And so we have compassion for them. I have to continually remind myself to react with compassion to judgment and rejection. And it's hard, especially when I'm on a channel like this and I'm going through thousands of comments. I'm judged and rejected all the time. I think it's just human nature. Sometimes it hurts when people say mean things. Sometimes it hurts to be ostracized by people within my family when they judge me. They say, Brian's a little bit weird. He's that weird guy that's doing that podcast. Maybe they're right. But at the same time, I'm now taught to have compassion for them. Not in arrogance, but in the fact that we see things differently. And they're not necessarily talking about me. And I'm not going to take it personally. I'm going to send them love. That's the best thing for me to do. It can hurt to be rejected. And I talk to people all the time that are suffering from this, rejected by their parents or their friends, their community, for something they did or said. And it goes deep. It's visceral. It hurts. So it's a lesson. It's an obvious catalyst. It's obviously something that we can learn from. My biggest thing that I'm trying to learn is how to react. Because usually an hour later, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be able to look at it with the bigger picture and understanding. But in the moment, I need to work on my reaction, my initial reaction. And that's what I'm continuing to work on. I want to react with compassion, not arrogant compassion, but compassion for myself and the person that is judging me. I want to see the bright side of everything. I want to look for the love in the moment. That's what I'm going to continue to try to do. I love you, no matter how you're judging me. And you're probably right on whatever judgment you're giving, but I love you just the same. And wishing you the very best and hoping you find love and light on your journey, on your path. You can find all episodes of The Reality Revolution at therealityrevolution.com. And welcome to The Reality Revolution.